All right, let's talk about Star Wars again.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Tim Wick, Nick Glover, and Molly Glover.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, we are talking about the latest Star Wars movie, Solo, A Star Wars Story. And we're going to spoil the shit out of it, so if you haven't seen it, go away.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Tim Wick. I am joined, as always, by my co-host, Molly Glover.
Pew, 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 pew.
And Nick Glover.
Pa-ting, pa-ting, pa-ting.
And if you could not tell by our fantastic sound effects and perhaps the title of the episode, we are here to talk about the latest installment in the Star Wars saga.
Solo, a Star Wars story.
Solo.
Not what the TiVo was calling it, which was Star Wars, : a solo story. It was advertising it to us in a little banner ad. It was like, make sure you get out this weekend to see Star Wars, a solo story.
Wow.
Star Wars, : is what you get after a really long Star Wars marathon. Like, if you've just been sitting in that theater seat for too long. You get Star Wars, : a solo story.
When you have too much Tabana gas.
So those jokes about Star Wars : aside, so far we've not ventured into spoiler territory, but I would like to warn you all that we indeed are about to venture into spoiler territory. We're going to spoil the shit out of Solo. So
yeah. Make the hyperspace jump to spoiler planet.
The spoiler system.
We're gonna make the Kessel Run to spoilers in two parsecs.
You spoil this episode in less than two parsecs.
Two parsecs.
Right away, can I just say the when him saying like we did it in less than 12 parsecs, and Chewie being like saying something, he's like, oh, if you round down that. I really loved the dude who played Han Solo, whose name I don't know, because it's a long
weird name.
It's not
Brad Pitt. I mean, I don't know.
But
what's the deal with that?
I loved him. And Han Solo is my favorite character in all of the Star Wars pantheon. Yeah, Alden. I was close. Alden Ehrenreich.
Alden Ehrenreich.
I thought he embodied Han Solo and... without mimicking Harrison Ford, but at the same time really evoking him, some of his smiles and smirks and body language, just like it, I felt like I was really, really watching Han Solo. It was great.
There's a shot when he's standing and you see him unsnap holster, and that just looked like a really nice Solo moment. But it also was nicely. It nicely harkened back to some of the Western roots of the Star Wars story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the same way that it ripped off samurai movies.
Right.
Like, yeah.
But the samurai movies it was ripping off were ripping off Westerns anyway. So,
right. It's that same
frontier
wild kind of vibe.
Yeah. I've always liked the Outer Rim. And we were joking at work that the whole movie felt like one big, awesome Edge of the Empire campaign.
Yeah.
Because it was very much like Outer Rim smuggling, crime syndicate, like people dying and NPCs that you thought were going to be around for a while that aren't.
And, you know, this is the first Star Wars movie where the Force is really not even in play.
Zero Force.
Not zero.
What?
Not quite
zero. Okay, not zero. Okay, right. Because if you haven't turned it off by now, then woe is you. Because Darth Maul shows up at the end.
Oh,
well,
God.
Maul. Not Darth Maul.
Maul.
Because they're very clear about he's not Darth Maul as soon as he gets cut in half. He is now just Maul.
He's no longer part
of the Sith. Because there aren't any Sith.
In fact, he fucking hates the Emperor all of that.
Yep, rejects all things Sith.
He hates them as much as he hates anybody else, more or less.
But yes,
he hates everybody.
He's an equal opportunity
hater.
He's not Sith, but he's still a dark side.
But yeah, like
dude.
big reveal at the end there that he is, I guess, what, like a major domo in the Crimson Dawn. Maybe the leader of. Like it's hard. It's really exciting. So Crimson Dawn is, man, I'm excited for what that means.
It's gonna be a thing.
Yeah.
I mean, there's more Solo movies coming. They signed our man on to be Solo in three movies.
I know there's going to be a Lando movie.
They haven't announced a Lando movie.
I thought they had.
The next Star Wars story is Boba Fett.
Okay.
Which he could be in.
There's no reason not to, depending on
when it takes place.
There's no guarantee that they're Solo movies, but he's signed on to be. Okay. It's like Samuel Jackson signing on to be Fury in a bunch
of
movies.
Sure, sure.
Right.
You know, he might just show up in a little bit of the Boba Fett movie. Like it'll start with him knocking Boba Fett into the Sarlacc pit, and then it'll go from there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Except that's not what's going to happen. That'd be kind of awesome. Yeah.
It would be an absolute waste not to find another excuse to have Donald Glover be Lando, though.
He was fucking incredible. I thought he was so good.
He stole every scene he was in.
In that same way of like, he wasn't doing a Billy Dee Williams impression and he wasn't doing like a Lando impression, but he was evoking so much of the character.
Well, I think the thing about both of these actors is they were not impersonating the actors that played the characters. They were playing the characters that those actors created.
Yeah.
And that's a really important distinction.
Yeah.
You know, you don't sit there and go, well, this is the way Billy Dee Williams would play Lando Calrissian. But you do go, that's fucking Lando Calrissian.
Yep.
Yeah.
The mispronunciation of Han, of being Han.
Whoa. Slow down, Han.
Yeah, like, slow down, Han. Yeah, just all, it was all so great. And I thought that when he showed up, I was just like, well, now this movie is just everything I could possibly want. Like, I really liked, a lot of people thought that the first act was slow. I liked all of it. There wasn't a single moment. I thought it was paced really well. Thought it was fast. Action moved along really well.
What's the first part of the movie? The train job?
No, the first part of the movie is them being kids on the streets.
Corellia.
On Corellia.
It's like a car chase.
And then him joining the Navy? The Imperial.
Joining the Imperial Army.
He joins the Navy, but he gets kicked out of the Navy for
having a mind of my own, which is like every shitty, every like guy that you know of who got kicked out of the military when you ask him why, for having a mind of my own.
Because they don't want individuals. Yeah, they don't.
Did you not realize that? Like,
he was just joining the Army to get out of not getting caught.
The Navy wanted to fly.
He wanted to fly.
Yep.
I feel like there were a lot of things, like how he gets the Falcon from Lando, that are things that we've kind of known about as part of like the mythology,
mm-hmm.
that never really got defined or fleshed out. But one of those things that I really liked was... There's always been this thing that, Chewie's with Han because he owes him a life debt. There's a Wookiee life debt.
Yeah.
And it's always been kind of like ownershipy and a little bit slavey.
Yeah.
But like this way it happens, it doesn't feel that way at all. It feels like Chewbacca is making the decision to be with him the whole time. And
over and over.
Over and over.
Choosing to be with him. Yeah.
And sure, he owes Han for getting him out. But that doesn't mean it was one-sided or that it's not a partnership.
They saved each other's lives.
Several times.
Several times over the course of the movie, they save each other's lives.
Absolutely.
And Chewbacca's fucking hilarious.
So the stuff with Kira, Kira being the, you know, I don't want to say girlfriend because it cheapens what they had, is like, I guess, best friend. Who he also had romantic relationship with.
Childhood
love, sure.
High school sweetheart.
Yeah, right.
Only it was so, mean streets of Corellia,
it's
sweetheart.
It's been 3 years, you know, and so there's a scene where when he sees her again and she's like, it's been so long, like, you know, and he's kind of like, I mean, it's been kind of a while, you know, because to him, he's had this single-minded goal of doing anything he could to find her. And to her, we don't know all the things that have happened, but they sound pretty fucking unspeakable. Like, whatever was happening to her must have been pretty bad for the way out, the guy that saved her, to be the one that, like, branded her wrist and has her into, like, sex slavery, criminal syndicate sex slavery, basically. Like, that's her good life means to me, like, when he's like, when she says he saved me from really bad stuff or whatever, it's like, Jesus, like, what was worse? So I feel like she's lived so much more than he has in those years.
Yeah, because he's just been in the army, which, you know, that's
a different kind of living.
That's not so awful.
Hey, well, it's awful, but I'm saying he had this burning, he had a thing and it was her.
Yeah.
He had something to live for and it was her. And and she did not have that because she had no idea.
That was also her thing to live for, was her.
That's true.
And that's why she made all those decisions. No, it was her.
No, it was her.
That's why she made all those. That's why she is where she is. Because that's what she had to live for. She had to.
That's why she kind of laughs at him when he's like, no, run away with me. And it's like, are you fucking serious? Like just kind of like, no. Well,
Molly, you've edited and read a lot of the Star Trek, Star Wars role-playing books and stuff that talk a lot about the edge of the Empire. And all that.
Uh-huh.
What do they talk about Crimson Dawn?
No, they're new.
They're new.
Crimson Dawn is.
Are they new to Solo?
They're new as of this movie. They're new.
Okay.
We'd never heard of them before. Because
there's the Blue Suns. Black Suns.
Yeah, Black Sun hasn't really been we knew Ketsu Onyo is part of it, like works for them or is part of it, and we knew some vague things about them having like they had headquarters on Mustafar or something before Vader or whatever. But I think a lot of that is getting legends did.
Sure.
Like I'm not an official source on this, obviously, but like it seems like Crimson Dawn is the new.
They're downplaying some of the old stuff and upplaying.
I'm really excited about the fact about this. Like when they were like, oh, Crimson Dawn is like you, and they said, they will hunt you to the ends of the galaxy. Like they've got people whose entire job would be just to hunt me down. Like that's super exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So one thing that I've seen that's a critique about the film, and it's interesting because I didn't have I had a different response to it. Which is the L3, the droid.
Oh, yeah.
And her, you know, kind of like droid liberation thing, which I think is kind of great since a lot of people have pointed out, you know, droids are sentient and yet servants.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They've got like restraining bolts that force them to do things they don't want to do because they're droids. And then you've got this droid that really is straining against that and starts a droid revolt and then she dies, and they basically co-opt her parts and turn her into what some people call a servant. And my response to it was actually that I felt it was more like, to me, it was more like organ donation.
Yes.
Sure.
I agree with that. I don't think her sentience is in her nav computer.
Right. That she died and like an organ donor allows others to live.
Yeah.
She's more than a nav computer. I think saying that they're putting her into the Falcon, all of her or her consciousness, or to imply that like she's now existing a life of servitude in the ship is belittling to the character and all of that she is, maybe.
Yeah. That said, a friend of mine and coworker made a good point to me about how, you know, the woman of color, you know, who is basically like being used. She's being a stand-in for POC and women, right? And then is sacrificed so that the male characters can go on to live was a bit. And I remember, and we were joking because I was like, boy, there's someone somewhere is watching this and getting ready to go back to college, and like they're gonna write a scathing paper about this and like really break it down. But I'm with you, Tim. I didn't think it was anything other than like a cute, oh, that's a nice thing that she's still kind of around.
Yeah.
But like not, she's not trapped in a.
But I mean, and she is the first female droid in the Star Wars universe that we have so far encountered. At least
that's like
first.
A named character. That's
Which, I mean,
it
is something there. When you talk about the diversity in Star Wars, this movie, I mean, it's not as great, but I mean, Lando is a major character.
Mm-hmm.
Woody Harrelson's wife,
Val.
You want to talk about like POC characters getting killed to
exactly.
The,
I mean, she also kills herself so that white boys can live.
Right.
And like it was just a little like there was a little. It wasn't. And again, it did, none of it bothered me. No part of me was like, wow, this is rough. Not like when I watched Wonder Woman, but like I was surprised that Val died so quick, early on. I was surprised that the pilot who from there, I had a feeling the pilot was going to die. because it was like they needed a they were going to need a pilot, and it was going to happen.
Yeah, and the other way you need a pilot is if you kill off the other pilot.
But I was really surprised about Val. I love that Han shot Beckett just right.
I love that.
He shot first.
Like, it's like the lesson he taught Han is to shoot first.
Yep. And and so then like the moment that I think like broke my heart a little was when Kira kisses Han and says, "For luck." And then they go somewhere. And then thinking like, so the way he was so reserved and like being weird with Leia, even though he clearly liked her, and like kind of, you know, belittling her to distance himself away. And then to have that moment. And of course, he's going to remember Kira.
Except when she did that with Luke.
Was it with Luke?
It was with Luke. Shit. It's before they swing across.
Oh, I'm so dumb. I thought she did it to Han at one point.
No.
Oh, boy.
It's I'm all confused. New Hope but before they swing over the chasm.
Yeah.
It would have been better, though, if that was the case.
Yeah. I thought that, I guess I was thinking something in, like, Jedi or something that it happened.
Still, I mean, it's an echo of other movies.
For
like, there's a lot of that where...
Yeah. All of it was just, I really loved it. I thought you could really see why he became the nihilist, fuck the rebellion and fuck the empire and actually fuck all of this.
Well, and
like,
wherever this story goes, you know, if Kira shows up again, that relationship is gonna, you know, she's never gonna do something for his benefit. It's always, you know, it's like, it's not that she hates him. I mean, she totally lied.
Oh, yeah.
She kept him safe.
Yep.
But in the end, it's like that relationship is never going to work out.
Well, and a lot of that was for her benefit, too. I mean, she's not going to tell Maul that she used someone to kill Dryden Voss. Like,
nope, he'll kill
her. Yeah, he'll kill her instantly.
Yep.
Sure, but if throwing Han under, it feels like if throwing Han under the bus was absolutely necessary, she would still try not to.
I think that is accurate because I think in her mind he got out, and if it hadn't been for her, he wouldn't have ever ended up back in it. You know, she's thinking that way. She's wrong because he would have ended up back in whatever life it is she thinks she's in.
Well,
but
I mean, clearly he's in because he's on his way to hook up with Jabba the Hutt at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that's who Han is.
If it came down to her or him, she'd pick her.
Oh, yeah.
She wouldn't hesitate to sacrifice him if there was no other way. Like, I don't think that's...
Yeah, there's no other way. No, I don't think so. I think she would definitely. Yeah. But I'm saying, like, I think what Tim's point was, like, if there was anything she could do, she would do the thing.
Yeah.
I feel like...
I don't know. I feel like the jig is up at this point. Like I'm not saying she has animosity towards him, but I don't...
Oh, you mean going forward.
Going forward. I don't think she'd swerve to not hit him too much.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, she's realized that power is, you know, the only real currency that has any value.
Yeah.
And she's seizing it.
There's that whole thing, you know, Tim, you're saying Han and Chewie going off to hook up with Jabba and all that. Like, I feel like one of the lessons that Kira tries to impress on Han is that, and she says it a couple times, everybody answers to someone. Mm-hmm. Like, whether you're working for the Empire or working for the Crimson Dawn or working for Emphas Nest or whatever, you're always working for someone. And that's how you get anywhere, and that's how you get protection. And the universe, the galaxy is a harsh place, and you got to pick a side. And I feel like maybe the way Han lives for the next 12 years is Han being the as rebellious as he can against that insistence that everyone answers to someone, and Han Solo says, "Fuck you, I have a ship and I have my buddy, and we're not going to answer to anybody."
And as long as I can do the jobs that I get hired to do,
exactly, and that's, I mean, when it comes time to you know, potentially hook up with the rebellion. It's like, nah, man, no one's going to own Han Solo. But like Kira also said, like, you're not the bad guy. You're the good guy. And she knows him, you know, and despite that, rebelling against someone controlling him or him answering to someone, like, once he figures out what's right, then he does join the good guys.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I like that.
Because that's kind of, and that's kind of who he is. And in this movie shows that in the end, he's gonna help the right people.
Yep. And she says that. She's like, you're a good guy.
Yep.
She says, you're a good guy. And he's like, no, I'm not. And she's
I'm a bad guy.
And she's just like, oh. Like, I mean, I think that's...
You're so adorable.
But I think that's
It's almost like she reaches out and tussles his hair
a little
bit. For real,
though. And I think that speaks to that whole thing I was saying before about how I think she's lived harder and more, you know, in this time than he has, in that sense that, like, we don't know what's happened to her, but whatever it is, it's changed her to the point that when she sees him, it's like she's seeing a kid again, you know, and he makes her feel like when they were young and they're, you know, they could get enough money to get out of here and get a ship and everything. And it was
naive.
It was all these like naive fantasies that felt good to talk about, but now he's here again. And it's like, oh my God, like, you're going to die. I don't want to, please don't make me watch you die. Like, again, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. I really liked her as a character. Enfys Nest, by the way. Holy shit, she was cool.
Yeah.
Like, her fan blade shield things or whatever.
And
like
the crazy, like, whatever that edge, glowing edge weapon thing. Yeah. Like, Dryden Voss's thing was kind of similar.
Oh, yeah,
Voss, is that
Dryden
one?
Voss, yeah.
Yeah, they're able to... It's not a lightsaber, but it's a futuristic cutting weapon, you know?
I'm excited.
Futuristic cutting weapon.
I'm sure we'll have a visual directory soon and we'll know
what it is. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, I really liked Enfys Nest. I liked her little band of marauders. And the story about how, like, what they're behind and how that's the seed of the rebellion, or one of them.
Yeah, yeah, like,
one of the many seeds.
Yeah, it's kind of nice to see that Solo effectively helps start the rebellion, which he then does not want to be a part of.
Yeah.
In Rebels, which takes place between Solo and Rogue One.
Mm-hmm.
There are, what the fuck was I saying? I can't. Oh, they talk about there are rebel cells. There are different groups. It's a very political thing. Like, not everyone is on board with what the Phoenix Squadron. That's the rebel. That's the rebels.
Yeah, yep.
The ghost and all that.
Yep.
Or even with what Leia wants. The ship.
Yeah. The ship is the
Ghost Squadron. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not all on board. They're not all aimed in the same direction. They're not, you know, all in agreement. And so I like the idea of the Marauders
which of course makes it easier for the Empire to beat them all.
I hope we see more.
It's like the 2016 presidential election.
Oh.
I would love to see her in her own thing or some kind
Enfys
of
Nest.
Yeah, I would just want to see
a
more
novel.
Of her. Yeah, I thought she was really cool.
Is she in Rebels? Mm. I haven't.
No,
okay. She's new. She's new in Solo.
Yeah,
but. No,
that's why it was such a reveal when she took off her mask, even though her vocoder noise sounded like Phasma's in that same way that it's...
I think you're married to a woman with a low voice, and I think maybe to you it's not as unusual to have, like, I have a feeling there were a lot of people that gasped.
Really?
When I don't know. Maybe not. She was small, but, like, all the actors were pretty small in that movie, other than, you know, Chewie, obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember what I was going to say about Chewie. I appreciate we saw other Wookiees, and that much like the other, like, main, you know, characters in the Star Wars stories, Chewie is a very good-looking member of his species.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah, he's a hot Wookiee.
The other Wookiees are pretty ugly. Chewie's...
Well, they've also been starved and, like, whatever, so I feel bad, but, like...
But they're background actor Wookiees, not foreground actor
Wookiees. Yeah, right?
Wookiees.
Yeah, they're not leading man Wookiees. Like, we were joking about how Maz being like, I like that Wookiee, you know, is now even more like it's like, who's your hot friend?
It's totally.
Well, you know.
190? Well, you look great. Like,
you look good. Boy, you look good.
You look great. He was just so enthusiastic and like that. I've got a good feeling about this. And all those little things that could have felt too cheesy, but I think they were just right. And like...
The ways in which he failed were like some of the most Han Solo moments.
Yeah.
Well, Han
like
Solo.
You see that ship over there? We've got 30 armed men. Yeah. Blah. They come out and just Lando just off. Fucking takes yeah. off.
But
that
I mean,
was
that's
a very Han Solo moment.
Well, that's Han Solo because Han Solo is not a planner. He's an improviser.
Yeah. He makes, exactly.
You know, he is the guy that just is like, I don't know yeah. how I'm going to get out of this. I just have confidence that I'm going to get out of it.
We even saw it in Force Awakens when he's like, oh, to the Kanji Club. He's like, oh, I don't have your. Oh no, it's terrible that you're. Balateek, I don't have your stuff because the other guys, they're the ones that were screwing me over, and then they're there behind him, and it's like, shit. Like, it's just, well, now I really don't know what to say.
You totally would have bought that lie, though, right?
Yeah, no, like, you guys would have believed it. We would have been good.
It would have worked. Yep. It would have worked. Yep. I just want to have us all agree before we get into this fight that it would have worked.
Yeah.
And, it felt like Han Solo. I mean, this was not somebody. This was not a bunch of writers going, "Wow, this is our take on what Han Solo would be as a kid." It was like it felt like they understood where that character came from and what would turn that kid who's Han Solo into the Harrison Ford Han Solo.
Proxima Midnight was super dope.
Proxima Midnight is.
That's Marvel.
What's her Lady Proxima.
Lady Proxima.
Yeah.
Lady Proxima, who lived in the giant well or whatever, the crazy sea creature species.
Do you know what race she was?
I don't, but I love that she was wearing all the shitty jewelry she makes them steal. I don't know if you noticed that, but she was just like festooned with like cheap, shitty costume jewelry, very Fagin. Like it was a very, like it was, oh yeah, it was
You've
great.
You've got to pick a pocket or two.
Yeah, right? Like it was, but it was like, and then like, oh, there's just that whole opening
scene. And she could not handle light. Light
nope,
would.
Nope.
She's a Grindelid.
Oh, of course she
and
is.
Her gang is the White Worms, which I mean, naturally.
It makes sense because they're all under the ground.
Yeah.
Those dogs were great. The dog like species that was taken off. That was great.
They did a good job with the creature stuff. They also, I didn't feel like they overdid the CGI.
No, I didn't either.
Which I think was a good choice. I think, my biggest complaint, and I think that it was the projection. The movie is very dark, and I understand that. The world that Han Solo moves in is dark. But I felt that the projection in the theater I was in was super dark.
That's too bad.
I didn't get that either time. I didn't.
Well, then I think it was the projector.
Mm-hmm.
I think they didn't have the bulb setting right.
Yeah, you should see it again.
The lamp setting right.
Yeah,
but there were a lot of scenes like the gambling, the scenes with the Sabic game and stuff like that, where faces were difficult to see.
Yeah,
and I think that I even asked on Facebook about it, and I get about 50% response. I thought it looked fine, and I 50% are like, no, it seemed really dark to me. Mm-hmm. And some people are like, well, the movie's supposed to be dark. And I'm like, yeah, it's supposed to be dark, but I don't think it was supposed to be that dark.
So I would say for me, in terms of, I liked this better than Rogue One.
Okay.
I thought the Rogue One was okay. I liked it. It was solid, but I'm never, war movies aren't really my deal. And so this heist movies are. So this was way more up my alley.
Sure.
I really loved it. I think that it's really high on my list. I don't know where exactly, but I would say it's, I feel like it might've been in my top five because I liked it that much. I had such a good time and I felt like it lived up to all the hype for me anyway. And I'd known a lot of it, you know, from work, just in, you know, it's just, you know, it's a hazard of the occupation. You kind of find out spoilery stuff here and there,
sure.
You know, but I was super, super happy with everything I saw.
I mean, for me, there's the top seven and then the other three.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, in the top seven, I like all of them. For me, I probably rank it seventh out of the top seven, but not because I didn't like it, just because I liked the other ones more.
You liked this? You liked Jedi better than this?
There's a lot about Jedi I like.
Okay.
I mean, ultimately, the biggest problem with Jedi is one third of the final climactic battle is the Ewoks, which are problematic, but that space battle is fucking amazing.
That's true.
And,
that
duel between Vader and Luke and the Emperor is amazing.
Yeah.
And, in terms of what it does for the lore of Jedi and Sith and the light side and the dark side, and the whole, holy shit, Force Lightning is a thing? Mm-hmm. The mm-hmm. fuck? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think there's a lot about Jedi to really like. But, I mean, it's like... I really liked Solo a lot.
You liked Rogue One better than Solo.
Yeah, I did. All right. I might adjust things in time. I might have Force Awakens a little high. No, I think I put Force Awakens 7th and Solo above Force Awakens.
I've got Solo just below Rogue One, barely. Like, they're really close in opinion for me, but it's just a little bit below Rogue One, but really close.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
All right, cool.
Looking forward to Boba Fett.
Yeah.
So
me too.
Solo, another Star Wars movie we all liked. So one of these days we'll all disagree, but not on this one. So it's time for five questions.
Five questions.
Molly, do we have five questions from a listener prepared?
We do. We have five answers from Abram Simons, who is a Patreon supporter.
Thank you. Then is this the last Patreon supporter at the top of the queue?
I don't know.
Okay.
I can't say offhand.
If you're a Patreon,
it requires me cross-referencing a list and another list, and it's a whole
thing. That's a real pain in the ass. If you're a Patreon supporter, there's a good chance you're near the top of the list if you submit your answers.
That is true, because there just aren't that many answers.
Yeah.
So
we'll start with question one, Nick.
Question one is, what conspiracy theory do you find most interesting or compelling?
I've struggled with this particular question. I used to find cryptids pretty compelling, especially the Jersey Devil. I loved the idea of mystery in the wild, but the reality is way better. There's a new species discovered every year. I find most conspiracy theories to be disappointing when compared to the weirdness of reality.
Nah,
I will point out that there being new species discovered every year only reinforces the idea of cryptids.
I don't know about that.
That's just science.
She's got a point there. Mic drop. Don't drop the mic.
Okay.
Nick already did that on this episode.
It's true.
I'm throwing him under the bus. All right. Question number two. What is your perfect 2-week vacation? Money is no object, but physics is a limiting factor.
I would take a 2-week backpacking trip to New Zealand. I would love to pore over maps and pick out trails and hike in the mountains and go for miles in the wilderness with my wife. I'd also love seeing all the crazy New Zealand birds.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that sounds.
When he's hiking, do you think he's going da 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 da
da da da
da da da? Yeah, just.
I would
leave 1-star reviews of the country on Yelp when giant eagles did not come rescue me when I got tired.
Just like hire like a bard like to just follow you around with like a guitar or something and just like play Lord of the Rings travel music.
I'd be really like pissed off when I got like way out into the wilderness and there was no beacon to light for somebody to come and get me. It's like beacons are lit. The hiker calls for aid.
Gondor calls for aid. Hello.
All right. So enough riffing on that.
Yeah. Question three is, what's a movie or book that changed your life? How and why?
Stranger in a Strange Land by Heinlein really had a big impact on me. It opened my eyes on new ways to see the world and think about things. It was a book that made me start to think about society, politics, and how we treat other people. I have a feeling if I reread it today, I would not walk away with such a good opinion.
Yeah.
I read Heinlein when I was a kid, and I didn't realize how, you know, Heinlein
sexist
it was.
Yeah. The thing about it is, like, whenever I read, my mom was always like, oh, you have to read, like, Heinlein, you have to read Asimov, read all this old, you know, science fiction from when I was a kid. Every time I would read these books and be like, so they've got spaceships and lasers, but all the women are still secretaries. And my mom was like, yeah.
Stranger in a Strange Land is so... I'm going to be very reductive here, but basically, alien sex cult kid gets some women to join his alien sex cult thing, and using psychic alien magic makes their boobs bigger, which also makes them smarter. That's very reductive, but that is not inaccurate.
I wish that I was smarter. Like, it's, I just want to be like D smarter.
Yeah, it's Hyland's not great for women, but he's good for science fiction.
He was. Except for women, yeah. So question number four, what's the geekiest thing you've ever done?
I've played D&D with the same college people for nearly 15 years.
Holy shit.
That is one long, ongoing geeky thing.
I want to know if the character's still in. What
stretch.
Character is he on? Is he on the same character for 15 years?
Yeah, I think
later?
I also want to know that. Like,
or same game even? Like if you hopped around?
Could be.
I realize that I'm making a major, major league faux pas by asking somebody about their character.
Ooh. Are you saying you want Abram to tell you about his character? Fantastic.
And our last question. What's your favorite hangover cure?
I've only been hungover a small handful of times. My hangover cure was to sleep in, drink plenty of water, and not do anything the day I was hungover, other than eat McDonald's. Not exciting, but effective.
All right,
and McDonald's doubles down on that, like, greasy food diner thing that everyone... People who mention food, usually they're like, get some greasy... Some greasy potato-y foods.
It's not like you know, carrots and dip.
No. You need something to soak it up and grease it down. Loop it through.
If you have a headache, you know, you can like hurt your finger or something to make distract you from the pain.
Yeah.
If you do something else horrible to your body, your body will forget the other horrible thing you did.
That's McDonald's is horrible. So awesome. Thank you very much for your answers. I will remind you that any of you listening right now could send in your answers to our five questions at 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. You can get bumped right to the top of the list if you support us on Patreon. And I don't think there's too much more of a list to be bumped to the top of.
No, there's only a few left. So absolutely write them in.
Write them in. Yeah. Send them in because we're going to start banging through some more of them soon. So, anyway, if you enjoyed Solo or did not, we'd love to hear your thoughts. And we are going to be covering another movie soon.
Yeah.
Holy shit balls!
That's a preview. That's a preview of next week's episode. Just so you know, we will catch you next time.
Bye.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean.
We're geeks. We're geeks. We're geeks without God. Moral authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Until next time, you can find us blogging at geekswithoutgod.com. You can follow us on Twitter at geekswithoutgod, and you can even like us on Facebook.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Why aren't other people laughing?
Oh, yeah.